phrase. He asked the Lord to help us to be responsive. And I want the Lord to help us with this message and feel like in my prayers and meditations about this meeting that the Lord gave me this thought about responding. God's not in question tonight in my mind at all. I don't question His faithfulness. I don't question His wisdom. And I don't question His love to my soul. I think He's perfect in all of them. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to get what the Lord has for me just because He's perfect in all these things. The other part of it is where we'll be willing to respond to that. If it was only the Lord's part, everyone would have everything they need tonight worldwide. I don't believe the Lord is slack tonight in dealing with any soul anywhere. I think He loves everyone and that His power and influence is always trying to deal with people. But we're responsible for the other part and how much we respond to the Lord. I thought this message was a good message to start off a revival with because the Lord talks in a lot of different ways. And He speaks to our hearts in a lot of different ways. And it's up to us to respond to that. And if we don't open our hearts to it, well, we're not going to get it. Years ago, I was sitting right before a service start, and a young man came by, and he was jesting me. He bent over and said, "Brother Marty, if you'll open your heart to the message tonight, you'll get good." I said, "Amen, I believe that." So I want to start with a scripture, very familiar scripture, in the third chapter of Revelations. In the 20th verse, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And there's a lot of givens in this, and we probably all heard them, but I stand. No action on His part to enter any more than He's done to get there. He's there. What is this door anyway? What, a door? Something that is a way of getting through, but it's closed? What is that door? Surely He's not talking about a house door or a building door, but He's talking about something that's closed, that is not up to His determination to open it, but He stands waiting, longing for a response. And He says, "Behold, I stand there." Is he still standing there? These words were wrote a long time ago. Is He still there standing at that place that He made to stand and still stand? How long does He stand there? You know, we have today, they call it call waiting, I guess. And I've never known just exactly how much I care for call waiting because it puts a little suspicion in my mind at times. I'll call someone and they won't answer. So I'll call them again and they don't answer. And then I'll go ahead, I'll call them again and they don't answer again, and I'm getting it, and then I'm thinking, call waiting. They know who it is that's calling. But how long does the Lord stand and knock? Does He knock once? Well, they're not home. No, they're there. They're in there. One to say, "I'm still here." Maybe it gets a little dimmer. Maybe. But the Lord is looking for a response And he said, if you'll respond, I've got something for you if you'll respond to my call. But what happens if you don't? And Lord, help us tonight, because that's our place to respond. This scripture, no doubt, is very weighty in the call of God to sinners. To the sinner man, and God wanting him to open that initial opening of his heart to the Lord. I think the door is the heart of man, sure. And God calling to him through his spirit. Open to me. Oh, open up. I got something special for you. Got something more than this old world of sin. And got something more than just defilement and corruption in your life. Got more than heartache and woe in your life. I got something special for you. And the Lord, knowing all of that, still won't open that door by force. But he leaves it to each individual to open it himself. And I believe that this is talking about the sinner out there today. And to every sinner, I believe God's still knocking. The Lord knocked at my heart a many a times, and me, I didn't open the door. I didn't open the door for a lot of knocks that the Lord knocked at my door back through my years. I think, though, that this could be taken a lot more than just to the sinner. I believe that this can apply to every one of us. And his wanting and his desire, please respond to me. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't think there's an experience in God that we automatically do anything. I believe all of God's working with mankind is under, it always comes under the power of a man's will to respond to God. You may even say that it's a response not to open the door. You may say it's a response not to give God attention. But God wants us to respond, because God knows what our life's about. God can see what you can't see. Folks, listen, we're desperate for God in our life. If you want to go to heaven, you know, one place of not responding could be critical to that endeavor. That can change the whole prospect of your whole life. Someone recently asked me what I thought about the idea of somebody that lived for the Lord sincerely for years, that obviously had something in their life that hadn't been took care of. What a question to answer. Who can answer that? I mean, I don't know how to answer that, because who can know how or what place they're in or what they've come from? I don't know all that together to answer that, but I think it's fairly possible to say that God wants to deal with that problem. And I would go farther than that, if you'll give me the liberty of a personal opinion in the middle of a sermon. But I really think that God knocks on the places of our life. And I think for the most places, to where there's years of living for God, and yet there's a place of the flesh that's obviously not took care of. I really believe that there's a non-response there in some way to God's dealings. Because God really does want to deal with these. God knows how crucial this is to you. But you know, it's possible, I believe it's possible, to go through with that and even get a hold of that at the end of your life, finally respond, and yet that place of the flesh can make a really wreak havoc in your life. And in your relationships, and in with your children and grandchildren and those after, of places that wasn't taken care of. And so, yes, God's knocking. God wants to take care of that in our lives. He wants it to come to that place of understanding. And you know, I think that one of the most needful places in our life is when that knock comes, is to say, yes, Lord, I open the door. In other words, the opening of the door is really to say to one that's bigger, better, more capable, wiser, stronger than we can ever be, Lord, I open to you and give you the right to open up my life, not to the congregation, to me. Lord, open my sense of honesty and integrity up in me, that I can understand as a person who I am. and what I am. And Lord, if you see something there, help me to get victory over that. And you know, that's why he stands and just says, would you open the door? Would you open up the door? Now, the Lord's got us special ways of knocking. See, we knock on the door. But God's got other ways of knocking. Many, many ways I believe the Lord knocks. And I want to look at the scripture over in Matthew, 11th chapter of Matthew. In the 16th verse it says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. You know, God made us emotional creatures. To some degree, one way or the other, other than great warpages and things that happen to people that they harden themselves, and even to that degree, everyone still has emotions. It is the spice of life. You imagine what life would be like without emotions. Now, as a minister, I can tell you, I see emotions. I know what the play of emotions is. I can become emotional here, and especially if I've got a long, sad story for you. And in the process of that, if I do that in a monotone voice, without you don't add a lot to it. But if it's passionately done, and I become emotional while I'm telling it, there's a great chance that I could jerk some tears. I'd like to not use it that way, though. That sounds too much. But the Lord can use emotions in our lives to move us. He knocks. He knocks on our hearts, I believe, with emotions. We made us emotional. And God doesn't want to change the fact that we're emotional. Sometimes men try to be tougher than emotional. And I'm probably one of those tougher type guys, or you know how I respond to it. I'm emotional. I don't show it the way a lot of people do, but I can't get away from the fact that I'm emotional. You can touch my life pretty easily because I do have emotions. Now the Lord comes along and he states two places, and the first one is music. Now, I think everyone here probably understands the power of music. Music touches the chord. There is music. I was recently in a congregation, and I thought this was humorous to me because there's the songs in our songbook are written poetically, but they also, the music fits the tone that the writer wanted that emotionally to stir. I mean, it just does. I mean, you take songs like 409 Eternity's got that real, you know, to it. Well, these people didn't know the song real well, and they turned this the song was meant to be a very stirring, thought-provoking song. But they kind of got their own tune in there, and the tune was more of a carnival-type tune. It reminded me of an ice cream truck. And I sat there and listened to the words of that and said, this isn't even close to what the intent of that song was. Because you can get humor out of songs. You can get somebody lived up and peppy. If you get the right beat and everything to a song and you're driving, this is not my opinion. This statistically does this. That people will drive faster to certain tunes than they do to other tunes simply because they've been stirred emotionally by that song. And other ones, you can have a melancholy, very depressive, but it mellows you. It's like songs are that way, and they use them in the world to provoke thought. They do it in the world, and it's a very powerful tool to do that. Well, the Lord gets a hold of this. The Lord knows these things, and he uses this, and he says, "We have piped unto you. We've used
the ability that we have to touch you, to touch you. And we want you to dance when the music's playing. Because here is an inevitable fact. If you don't dance when the music's playing, you definitely ain't gonna dance when it don't, when it's not. He does what it does. Now, we can get these little tunes sometimes around the house, and I notice the children, you don't have to teach them this. Now, my little girls start just, I mean, they don't, you don't have to teach them to move to music. That I've seen it from little children and music get going and them start rocking back and forth and getting to going with this. The Lord has ways of touching us and working with our lives. He has ways to bring to our life. Music has always been represented in the idea of festivities, joy, joyfulness. You respond joyfully with a song. And so the Lord comes in and says, I've knocked at your heart with the joy of the life I've created. Hasn't He? I look at it quite often, God's creation that He made around us and His desire to touch people's lives. God's been good, hasn't He? To you, to me, but has he been good to our nation, our world? You know, even the people that complain about the lives that they have, they live better than kings, most of them. Look at what God has given to people of our time. And He said, we've played the flute, a very joyful tune we've played to you to get you to respond to God, to be thankful, to have a heart to respond to God. We all ought to praise the Lord tonight. We ought to be thankful to God for what He's done. We have so much in this time that we have. We can look at the nation and say it's falling apart. Well, if it is, it hasn't fallen yet. And I still ate really good today. And I woke up in a comfortable bed and it was warm and clean and cozy. And I didn't have any trouble driving up here. I didn't have any trouble paying for the gas that got me here. I'm blessed. And He said, I piped to you, but you're not dancing. You're not responding to the goodness of God. You know, Lord help us. I know that there isn't people crowding in these doors, but there are still people. And we live in a country free enough that if we want to go try to get them, we can. And the Lord's piping. And He's saying, you're not dancing. I'm trying to get you to respond to me. You know how many blessings we miss in our life because we don't touch somebody else's life? With the goodness that God has given to us because we have a song to sing? Because He's piping to us? And if we dance while He's piping, if we respond while He's piping, we got something to give to someone else. But do you know the idea of this is that you think about it, that in the highest emotions that the Lord can touch you with, if you don't respond, then when are you going to respond? If you don't move to the music, are you going to move without it? When you're at the very top of the potential that you have in your emotions and you don't move, well, when will you? When will you? You won't. Now the scripture says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's in James 5, availeth much. Do you know the time to pray is when you're stirred? What's moved you? What's moved you? Did all of a sudden you get touched by a soul that's in need? It's time to dance. It's time. Where are you going to have more fervor, more passion, and more desire than at the height of your emotional state? The Lord's piping at that time. He's suggesting something, and all of a sudden something comes in and it touches your family. All of a sudden you look at the problem that's in your family, the problem that's there. What's going to touch you more? The effectual, fervent prayer. Hot, emotional, passionate. And the Lord I'm piping. But you're not dancing. You're not dancing. You're not responding. When I look and see, you know, I've heard this for years and have always agreed with it, but I agree with it with a little more now than I ever have, that when something touches you in service, that the time to get help for that is right then. And the reason is, and I've heard this ever since I've been saved, is because you're in the frame of mind, the Lord's working. You're in the frame of mind. If you go from that time, you don't dance while the music's playing. You're not likely to have the same kind of fervor and desire for that move towards God as you did while it was at its peak. It doesn't mean that you won't still be hearing the music when you're gone. It's just that the music ain't going to be playing as loud, and many times it ends. And it isn't God ending. I'm going to get this right. It isn't God ending. I've closed, the door starts closing as my emotions give way. I start closing the door to God. I know what I'm talking about because I've closed the door on God before. And I know that you can close the door. And then he has to come back again and knock to what he wanted us to get victory over. And he tried to do that. And is it possible that you can do that for 40 years and end up with some mountain in your life? In an area of your life, and somebody look and say, how did they live for God? And seemingly they're devoted. They do all this. Does God not deal with them? That was the question that I was asked. Does God not deal with them? And I said, well, surely he does. I'd hate to think in my life, I wouldn't want to say that God ain't going to deal with me about something I got in my life. So he said, we've piped, but you haven't danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. Now, there is two, and first of all, of course, music. There is the second thing that touches our emotions, and that's mourning. You get somebody up here that's just went through a tragedy, and they're here. I mean, who can hardly keep a dry eye when you see a loved one come up to a cast? And their loved ones there, and them just fall over in that casket and just weep and wail and cry out. And you see that kind of a thing. Who can hardly keep a dry eye at a time like that? And the Lord comes and says, now this is intense working. We've mourned unto you. Put you in a place that you can hardly hold yourself from a response. That kind of emotions. But yet you didn't lament. A place that you ought to have been stirred to, that kind of a place. And you know, this answers to me a lot of answers about why God does what he does in people's lives. Because we run in and deal with many people full of deep heartache and sorrow. And we want to search for questions sometimes and say, Lord, what is this all about? He's mourning unto you. And he wants you to lament. He wants us to respond to every dealing of his spirit in our life. And it's events that he brings. That knock is not, we want to think of it just, oh, Lord's outside the door and he'll be there anytime I'm ready to open. That knocking comes through tragedy sometimes. That's the Lord saying, will you open my heart, your heart? I've been trying to get a hold of you. You won't answer the door. You want to go to heaven? Sometimes, I want to tell you, to get through this life, our desire to get to heaven's got to be above everything else. And we got to be willing to say, Lord, when you come morning, I'm going to lament with you. I'm going to get to the place that I deal with my own life. And I'm going to respond to that. And you know what the Lord's going to start doing in our lives? He's going to, if we're honest and we're willing to lament when he mourns,
with the emotions, with the passions that he's bringing into our lives. There's just the avenues, folks, that the Lord can use to get into our lives. If we didn't have those, he couldn't touch our lives. That's what the danger of being calloused is. What's the Lord able to do when he can't even take your loved one and you don't respond? There's no mourning, there's no weeping, I'm callous to all those things. Lord, help us. You know what I've seen people do? And this is, this stirs me up. I've seen people that move their lives away from a faith in God to other things. Then they get to the place that the other can't help them. And there's no more lamenting. They don't even consider the idea of God. Then they can get into a place to where they're going to leave this world shortly. And there's nothing God can do to touch the emotional space that used to be in their life. It's like, I'm dying, I know I am, and I'm indifferent, I'm haphazard about my Christian walk, and there's no way for God to get them to open the door to the things that they need in life. Because they've moved away from that and put a trust in something else, and now God can't. That he knocked and he knocked, and the very event that's there that he wanted them to trust him for, that he used all the emotional tools that he had to get them to focus to him and open the door so he could help them in their life. They turned away from God and didn't dance. And they didn't lament. And then it's gone. It's like there's no other place left for God to be able to, oh, surely he knocks, but the dimness of it's no more there. Folks, be very, very careful about God's dealings in your life. If the Lord's willing to pipe, say, Lord, help me to dance. Help me to understand myself here, to move into this area. Touch me here, Lord, when I care. When I'm caring about me. Why will I care about the things that happen in my life? When I care about my eternal destiny. See, here's the great tragedy of the human soul. People think that they can do whatever they want. The thing that they don't know about is how that they're going to think in the future. People think that if they think that way now, people will say, for instance, I'm going to get saved before I die. They mean it. There's an interest in God and they mean it and they're presuming upon the great mercy and love of God. And I believe if that's all they had to think about, they would be saved because God's mercy and love is that deep. But that's not the factor that's going to get them. The factor is that in years to come of hardnessing and not dancing and not listening to the knock, that they're going to get in the state that saved? Who needs to be saved? What's the worry of being saved? You think you always think the way you do now? I can guarantee you that if you got time ahead, there's going to be some changing in your thinking one way or the other. You're either going to think deeper in God and you're going to get closer to God, or you're going to think away from God. One way or the other, you're going to move some way or another. And the Lord designs at a certain space in life these places that you move one way or the other. And those are coming in the events of our life. Most of the time, I know the Lord can speak to us in dreams, and he does, and he speaks to us in inspirations of thoughts of scriptures, and the Lord speaks to us in many ways. But when it gets down to that thing that needs touch that you're reluctant to, it's an event that's going to come. It's going to be something that stirs you to say, and I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful for this to the places, and I'm a coward. I'm a chicken. I don't like to face these kind of battles. I'm not saying I don't want to stand up here and act like I'm bigger than I am. I'm not. But I can say absolutely I'm thankful for everyone that I've ever had to face that brought me closer to God. It's just that I don't want to start another one tomorrow. I just being honest. But if God deals with, I want to dance.
If God comes and says that, I want to be faithful and say, Lord, I want to dance while you're piping. I want to get the good. I want to do that. The Lord sends revivals. He wants to bring us to a certain, it's another element, but that's not his main element. We get charged up. We get understanding. We fortify ourselves in revivals to go on, but that's not where it's at. Most of the time, it's in that thing that happens. And you say, Lord, here I am totally helpless. Man, I gotta do something. I need help from something. Which way am I going to go right here? And the Lord says, you stand still and let me help you here. And we're chomping at the bit to try to get a solution. We want to conquer it ourselves. We want to have our own answer to it. I want it to come out to a certain way. I want to lay my hand to it. And the Lord don't want any of that. He wants us to dance to the tune. So Lord, help us, beginning of this revival meeting, to respond. Not only in the revival, but to set our heart to respond to God. When God comes and talks in our lives, respond to that. Be willing to step out and do the things. God, Moses comes before the Lord and the Lord told him, I want you to go down to Egypt. And he said, I'm no speaker. I can't talk. I'm not a man that can do this. Moses, respond. Respond. What do you think all this in your life has been about? You were born and put out into the rushes. Moses, that's your name. Listen, this has been God in your life. Respond to what God created you to do. Go down there and do what I wanted you to do. Respond to the workings. Respond to the dealings. Respond to your failures. Now, I want to say this very carefully because I'm not promoting failures, and y'all know that. I think God's a God of victories. But failures are still a part of human life. Am I wrong about that? Isn't failures a big part of human lives? And what are you going to do about your failures? I'm going to tell you what a failure is. It's a tune. That's what it is. It's a song. It's the Lord playing. He comes and plays at that time. You know, not that you get worse off for your failure. Not that you're cast down for your failure. You don't pile one failure on top of another. No, you look at that failure and you know what it tells you? I'm not God. I'm not invincible. I'm not capable on my own. I'm desperate. I am wretched. I'm miserable. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me to be bigger and better than that. It teaches us to trust in the grace of God. But you know what? Not your failures, my failures, are worthless to me, and I never get anything out of them if I don't respond to God in the failures of my life. And I'll be personally honest with you. My greatest successes has been my worst failures. It has. It takes me to God with a passion of, I don't want to be that way, Lord. Help me. You just revealed it to me. And Brother Tony may remember this. I've told it many times, but years ago when I first got saved, it was the first year or so I was saved. I didn't know anything about living for God. God was merciful. I was saved to know I was saved. But I didn't know everything, and I didn't know how to respond to things. And so I thought that Christians act good. With the emphasis on the act. You, when things happen, you swallow, you get your fortitude about you, and you act right. Always act right. And so that's what I done. It's the way I responded. I acted right. Things that happen, especially between me and my wife, and I would swallow hard and think, I was so desperate to want to live for God. I really did, and I wanted to be right, and I didn't want to displease the Lord, so I swallowed hard. And many things I swallowed real hard. And I done that for a while, but honestly, it was like it never went anywhere. It always seemed like it just piled in there and stuck. And did that. And so we're coming off of Miller Mountain going into Webster Springs. Still remember it vividly. Coming down through there 55 mile an hour down the road. And we got into this little, how are you supposed to say this when you're saved? Discussion.
Okay, we're having a discussion. We had a fight. And you know what happened? Every bit of that. It was anger. It was, I did not act like this when I wasn't saved. I slammed on that brake at 55 mile an hour and that car went sliding down the road sideways into this area off of the road. Absolutely ugly. Of course, it scared my wife. She wasn't going to ride with me anymore. You can imagine what this was. I was such a failure. And I ended up going to the altar. Brother Tony went with me, and I still remember his words when I told him that. He said, "Brother Moore, that's not the way you do it." Thanks, Brother Tony. I got help right there with that. Brother Tony told me, you know what he told me? "Brother Marty, you got to take those things to the Lord. That's what you have to do. You got to take them to the Lord and get victory of that way. You can't keep putting that down in there. Okay, I got it now. You got to deal with these things until that's not there no more. You got to take care of it." You know what happened in that? I can't say that was pretty. I can testify to you about it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not proud of that. But I am thankful for the step. I feel like that's under my feet. I feel like that was a step up to something that I never knew before. I was young in the Lord, but I've done things after I've not been young in the Lord. There's places that the Lord wants. And you know what he does after a failure? He starts playing. He really does. He starts knocking. You know what he wants out of us? Respond to me. Respond to me. I'm loving you. I want you to say to me in this response, "Lord, this is how Marty is." Respond. I've knocked. I believe the Lord allowed all that to happen because he wanted it out of there. And he brought it to those places. And now I understand better than ever. I'm better for the whole thing. But the Lord dealt with that. You and I need to understand this. We can miss every opportunity of growth in the Lord by not responding. A simple non-response to those kind of places by saying, "Oh, it's just much their fault. It was mine. Let's just get over it. And you know, you forgive me." Yeah, we like to do that, and it is Christian to forgive. But I'm going to tell you, you can use that to your own detriment. "Oh, you owe me as a Christian to forgive me. I'm sorry you forgive me." No, there's something made you do that. There's something made you do that. You know what? We can miss all of that by not responding to the Lord and saying, "Lord, why did I do that? Please help me never to do it again. Lord, help me to have more than that. I know you got more than that. You allowed this to come to this kind of a place, and I want to know how to deal with it now. Help me that I won't have this in my life." "We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented." There's a couple other scriptures I wanted to look at. Over in Ecclesiastes, no, it's Isaiah 30. Verse 20 is the verse I want. It says, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed unto a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." You know, one of the things that we want our children to do is to respond. We want them to respond to the things in their lives. When we come dealing with them, we want a response. We want a better response. We want them to go from step to step, line upon line. We want them as they grow. I don't expect the same out of my little one as I do my older one, but we expect that little one to get to the place of that older one, and we expect that to come through line upon line and getting there that way. We expect the response of that. We expect a learning experience that they would be able to understand. I don't want to see my children hurt.
But it does teach you something. It really does. It teaches you something. Come down my driveway. I was just a young boy. I come down my driveway on a bicycle, and it had just rained real hard, and driveway come down there, and there was a fellow that walked the road some, and he was coming up the road at the time, and I was coming off that just as hard as I could crank that bicycle, boy, I was cranking, and I got down next to the edge of the driveway, and I hit my brakes, and boy, I went sliding. You know how young guys will do on them bicycles, boy, I slid down through there and got back on there, and he said to me, you better not do that on this hardtop. And you know what, honestly? I never saw that guy on a bicycle. What right did he have? He didn't ride a bicycle. I never saw him on a bicycle. He was kind of an older fellow. He didn't ride a bicycle. What does he know? And I took off on that, and it just rained good. You know how? And I just touched them brakes, and I mean that bicycle come out from right in front of him. That bicycle come out from under me so fast, and I went head over heels over that bicycle, me and the bicycle. And that was humiliating. He just had told me not to do that, and I wasn't going to listen to that. So I went around there with my wounded pride and went around the curve, and just as soon as I got out of his sight, I thought, I'm just going to touch my brakes enough to get the feel of it so I can do this. And I mean, I just touched them brakes, and I went head over heels again, bicycle over to down through there. I've not done it since. And I'm not likely to now either. But you know what? We want a response. Response on it. God wants us to learn and to respond on that. And the Lord knows where to do that at in our lives. And our best, folks, listen, our best time to do it is when it's hot and when it's ready and God has brought it to that point. In this meeting, anytime during this meeting, if the Lord begins to deal in an area of your life, I just want to give you, just like this old feller gave me, just a little bit of advice. Take care of that. You'll do much better with it when the music's loud and you hear it and you're in the mood to do it. And if you go away from that, it's going to get less and less and less and less important. And if you're not careful, that thing could escalate all the way to the losing of your soul. And the best time to deal with those kind of things is right there at the time. Do you know you can harden yourself against the things you've done in life? And you can. Now, you know it as well as I do. You think about it and you'll say the preacher's right here. You can steel yourself and harden yourself against what you've done that you shouldn't have done and justify what you, and make you feel right about it. And you know you can. Because I can too. But I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous place to do it. And you can make even bitterness by saying they deserve it, or I ain't as bitter. I ain't really bitter about it. You just go ahead and watch the gauges. Watch the gauges. Watch and see if that don't happen. And when the Lord starts dealing with that and the passion, you know what happens? It starts telling on itself. And when you see somebody that you don't like and you don't have no problem with them, you don't have no problem with that person, and all of a sudden you're having feelings, guess what? You have problems. Guess what? That's an emotion. Guess what? Good time. It's a good time. It's a great time. When it's at the hottest, you know, God isn't afraid of those things in your life. You're not going to defile God by bringing that to Him. That's the time to bring it when it's there. When you get to that point, it's, I just can't stand it. That's the time that you're hot. It's running hot. The music's playing. It ain't always a sweet tune. It ain't always a joyful tune. Sometimes it's one of these tunes. But it's time to deal. Time to work. And God wants us to. And He said, you're not going to hide these teachers off in the corner. Your eye shall see your teachers. Watch these teachers. All them old teachers. I remember when I was in school. All them old teachers that was in my life, every one of them was put there to teach me something. That's what they was hired for. That's what they aimed to do. And you know what they tried to do? What's the number one? Well, Mike, you've done some teaching. What's the number one thing you got to do with a student to get them to learn something? Motivate them, right? I mean, you find somebody that wants to learn, they really want to learn, you can't hardly keep them from learning. They're going to learn when they're motivated to learn. This is what the Lord wants to do, is to motivate us. Motivate us for it.
Get us stirred up with it. Get us wanting to do it. That's what you got to do with it. That's what you got to, the Lord wants to do with us. He's trying to motivate us. And you know, even with all that, people by the multitudes never learn a thing. All them old teachers I had, every one of them was geared up to motivate me to try to learn. And I ain't saying I didn't learn something. But I didn't learn near what I could have learned that if I'd have wanted to learn. I was hindered all my life by not wanting to learn. I didn't have a desire. Oh, I wanted to learn. I just didn't want to learn what they was trying to teach me. I wanted to learn how to chase a squirrel better. Or I wanted to learn how you twist. My dad taught me how to twist a squirrel. You don't even twist a squirrel out of the tree. You get you a little fork. You cut a little fork of grapevine, get a little fork in it, and you get that up in a hollow tree and get a hold of it. And that gets in that squirrel's tail, and you start twisting it. Twist that hair up on there, and it gets so tight that you can just start pulling. You pull that squirrel right. I've done it. I pulled him right out of the tree, a live squirrel, because I had him a hold of it with a green bar hooked into his tail. And you can pull him right out of there. I learned something. Teacher didn't teach me that. I learned something. I sat endless hours in the school building looking out the window wanting to be out there doing something. Do you know, I want to tell you, if you're like that today, ask the Lord to help you. Because you know what? I sat in there the same hour as everybody else did. That was time to learn. That's when the knocking, that's when the space is given to learn. Do you know I wouldn't have missed out on one thing I ever done by learning what I should have while I was in school? I done all of that. I felt like the Lord talked to me here a while back and went to service one morning, and I felt like the Lord just so vividly said, if you're gonna spend your time in service, why don't you try to get something out of it? And that just challenged me so much because I thought, Lord, I know what you're talking about. My mind's off somewhere. I ain't getting into it. I ain't putting my desire, my passion into it. I'm showing up. If you're going to spend the hours doing it, why don't you try to get something out of it? You know what? You're going to live this life the same whether you get anything out of it or not. You know, you're going to go through heartache, and you're going to go through sorrow, and you're going to see death close by. You're going to have ailments to your body. You're going to do all those things whether you respond to the Lord or not. So why don't you respond to the Lord? Lord, help us to respond. Ecclesiastes 7, chapter of Ecclesiastes. And then I'll be through. It says in the day, 14th verse, 7th chapter of Ecclesiastes says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. And the meaning of that, I believe, is this. I kind of look at this scripture every time I read it as dominoes. You ever see dominoes lined up into a path? It's joyfulness, adversity, joyfulness, adversity, joyfulness, adversity. One against the other, one against the other, one against the other in life. Anybody want to try to say that life isn't that way? Isn't life full of the joys? And isn't it the disappointments follow the joys? And then what's beyond the joy? Another joy and another disappointment. And it's like dominoes falling. One falls in your life and then the other. And God set one against the other that man wouldn't know. You don't know which one's falling next. Are you going to be joyful tomorrow or are you going to be in trouble? Huh? You don't know because one's falling and then the other. And as soon as you get through with one, the other one will fall and you'll say, well, thank the Lord. Look where I'm at. But don't say it too loudly because unless you got some good grace, tomorrow's coming and another one will fall. And it goes on and on like that. But the Lord said, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Of course. Praise the Lord for what He does for us. Joyful that you can be in this meeting, that my health's good, that the Lord has blessed us. We've overcome some things. Thank the Lord. Why? That's the way the Lord wants us to live. But He said in the day of adversity, there's something to that day of adversity. Stop and consider. Why? Because it touches you. And you won't You don't have the same opportunity of considering in a joyful day as you do in an adversity. Now, it's just the truth. And the Lord knows our human makeup and knows that our emotions is not stirred in the day of joy to accomplish what he can in the day of adversity. So, in the day of adversity, when that domino of your life falls, what a goat opportunity. I don't want it to fall. But it'll fall. It'll fall. And when it does, consider. Recently went to my uncle's funeral. It was a day of adversity. A couple of my uncles on my mom's side died and close together and went to the funerals and or the viewings. And I looked at my aunts and uncles, and it's that time. They're dying. On both sides of my family, my mom's getting older and my dad's getting old, and their brothers and sisters are passing away. And I looked at them, used to look at them, and they were just big, strong men, and now they're gone. And all of a sudden, I looked around, and if that's happening to them, what's going on with me? I said to my sister, she's here, I said to her recently, I said, Robin, and look at all these pictures of these, our cousins and all these people we went to school with. And I said, they ain't faring too well. I said, we're doing better, ain't we? And she said, nope. Just face it. We ain't doing any better than they are. Well, okay, I admit it. It's happening to us all. But the day of adversity comes, and that's when you sit and consider, Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to number my days. Teach me to be, I recognize the fact that I'm going down the road that my father's going down. I'm going down the road to my uncles. Help me to number my days. I can get the most out of this as I can. Help me to understand. I don't want it to be said. You pray for me. Because I don't want it to be said that he lived for the Lord for 50 years. Why does he still have that big thing in his life? Why does he still act like that? You pray for me. I want to be faithful.